crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, ZIP 6. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
I got nothing. How's that for an opening? I got nothing.
That's a pretty good opening to me.
All right. At least it's not all right. At least it's something different. This is episode 51 of Binary Revolution Radio, I think. It's kind of late. I'm starting to lose track of my mindset here. And I am joined again, episode 51, by our returning co-host, Cy Pete.
Hello.
And we had last week, episode 50, which was the Telephonic Craptacular, the second Telephonic Craptacular. And because of that, it's been a couple weeks since we had a live show, a pseudo-live show. So we've got a lot of email backed up, and we're going to start with that, because we got quite a few. So many, in fact, that I'm not going to be able to do all of them today, because it would be a whole show full of email, because they were good emails, and we're going to go into depth on some answers on some of them. So some of them are going to wait till the next show. We'll talk more about that at the end, because we've got some interesting scheduling things coming up soon. So we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. So first of all, let's just jump into some emails. And the first one is from an old friend of ours, Droops. And he says a few things, but I wanted to read, let's see, this part says, I read the Wall Street Journal every day, and I'm always thinking that the community would be interested in some of the articles. I'm thinking of doing a little show like Uberlito that I read and talk about some of the articles. Again, keep up the good work. If you ever come to Mississippi, give me a shout. Well, Droops, I actually do get around the Dirty South, the Dirty Dirty, quite a bit. I've got relatives scattered around, and I kind of make it up and down the East Coast. So that might actually possibly happen. So if I ever do make it up to Mississippi, I will definitely give you a shout and see if we can hook up. And let's see, the radio show that you're talking about, obviously, I support. Even Cy Pete and I were talking earlier about maybe some other ideas for some shows. Once we get this radio station up and going, and we're going to talk about more of that later. That's really one of the main things we're going to talk about. And Cy Pete's been doing a lot of good work on that. We're going to talk about that in a lot more detail, because it's a project that I just haven't had time to dedicate to it, and it's been on the kind of the back burner, and I feel real bad about that it's taking so long. So I'm really trying to bump that up in priority. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and let you know our plans for that. So we'll definitely hook up with you for that. And anybody, frankly, I'll consider just about anything, any show people, as long as it's somewhat hacking-related, tech-related, even very loosely. I mean, if people have seen Hack TV, they know that even the car, you know, that's some borderline stuff people don't consider hacking. I've got a very broad definition of hacking. I'm very liberal with my definition of hacking. So any kind of ideas, anything you want to submit, I'll be more than welcome. We've got, you know, we're going to be streaming reruns of Binary Revolution Radio, RFA, all Default Radio, tons of different shows. So, you know, that's going to get old and repetitive after a while. So the more shows we get on there, the more variety we have, the better as far as I'm concerned. So by all means, contact us. We'll give you some more details today, and then hopefully in the upcoming weeks when we really start scheduling some stuff. Because I have some great shows, people that have contacted me that I've already said, yes, we will get it up and running and scheduled, and we will get regularly scheduled weekly shows on there that are good, that are really good shows. So I really am trying to get that going, because I know that kind of throws off other people's plans as well. And you mentioned Uberlito, and I really really should pimp this show more, and I should have mentioned it in the past, but this is such a cool show. Go to hackermedia.net/UberLeto, UberLeto, and check out UberLeto. It comes out every week or once or twice a week. Great show, very funny. Go check that out. And Droops, when you get yours running, we'll put yours on as well. We'll work something out. And anybody else, like I said. And finally, just a little teaser, and actually I haven't even told Droops this yet officially, but you can look for Droops coming up on Hack TV Episode 2. Just a little teaser, a little mouth-watering teaser there.
Yeah, the UberLeto site definitely looks like it's got some professional design here.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Going to get a Webby Award for this.
Yeah. Oh, it's all about content, not flash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, huh? Let's see. Next email is from Soundwave. Soundwave's emailed us before. He says, "Dear Stank Dog, last time I wrote in, it was under the name Soundwave, and that's still the name, but I had to get a new address and ditch AOL because they lick more,
Well,
how do I say this with keeping my language under control? If it's a direct quote.
They're not very good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not very good. They lick more donkey than a male prostitute. That doesn't work either. Anyway, AOL is suck. So, let's see. The reason I'm writing you is, one, to thank you for reading my email on the air. Pfft, don't worry about that. If it's good email, we'd love hearing fact from listeners. Second is that I went to the 20... Okay, let me preface. Let me give a little backstory here. This young man was the person who was tentative about going to his first 2600 meeting. He found out there was one fairly near him. He'd never been before, and we encouraged him to go and let us know how it turned out. So, obviously, that's what he's doing here. He went to the 2600 meeting, and to much disappointment, not a soul was there. So I got a coffee and sat down a bit to see if anyone would show. Well, over at one table was a small group forming, but all they had were guitars and no laptops of any kind, so I just sat and listened, because hackers can be anyone. I love to hear people say that. Hackers can be anyone, so don't judge a book by its cover. So as I sat there, more and more people joined the group, and every once in a while I will hear something about a computer said, but it sounds mostly like in the office type thing. So finally one gets up and goes inside to order, so I follow because I'm way too chicken to ask the whole group. Thank God I did, because I asked the guy inside if the group he is with outside is the 2600 meeting. I got the worst look of confusion I have ever gotten, followed by, "What the hell is that?" So my gut hits the floor and my face turned red with embarrassment for waiting an hour. You following with me here, Pete?
Yeah.
You see what I'm doing here?
Uh-huh.
Embarrassment for waiting an hour watching these hippies with guitars, desperately hoping they were hackers. So I do a 180 and walk out not saying a word, with my self-esteem following far behind. So now I don't know what I'm going to do. I live in Orange County, California, and the meeting I went to was in Lake Forest. So as far as the 2600 site goes, the next closest meeting is in the Union Station in L.A., but with the famous California rush hour traffic, the meeting will be long over by the time I get there. So if I can't find a meeting, I will have to stick with the way I've been getting my knowledge by downloading your show and burning it to an MP3 CD and playing it in my car. Don't get me wrong, I love the show. Listening to Rant Radio at work and downloading every show and video I can find on the net at home. It just would be nice to have some friends to talk to and share knowledge with, because I'll tell you what, anytime I start talking about computers to my lady, she gives me this look of death like she wants to put a knife in my throat. Yeah, that look is very... So any feedback from you or the listeners, or where I can meet up with some people so I can find a way to share and feed this hunger for knowledge, it would make a world of difference, and I won't have to bore you with this book of an email. It was a pretty long one, but that's okay.
A little too late for that.
Yeah. Well, I'll end with a big thank you and even bigger apology for the long email. Nah, we're kidding. No big deal. I am loving the show, and don't stop. Thanks. Soundwave. P.S. Look out for Deadly Halon. Okay, that's already ingrained in my mind permanently. I'm always watching for Deadly Halon.
As in actual Halon?
As in episode 13, I think it was, my Deadly Halon story.
Oh, okay.
Okay, first of all, yeah, this is... Actually, you can probably talk about this a little bit too, but let me make a couple points here, first of all, because I kind of said last time that he should check this out, and kind of embarrassed or ashamed for our community that nobody showed up to meet him there. But, first of all, him being embarrassed, there's no need for that at all. That's, you know, Pete and I talk about this a lot, that, you know what, if worst case scenario, you go and hang out at the mall, or in your case, it's a coffee shop. You go hang out at the coffee shop, have a coffee, read a magazine. It's not like it's a lost day. You know, it's a nice, relaxing getaway, even if you just end up talking to one person or reading or whatever. It's not such a big deal. There's absolutely no reason for embarrassment about something like that. It didn't work out, which kind of stinks, but one chance or one opportunity, don't abandon the whole thing just because it didn't work out the first try. I went and checked out the 2600 website. I'm sure you did the same thing, and you'd see, obviously, that the meeting is listed on their active meetings list. However, they don't have a web page, and that's a very important thing. That's a very important point of contact, a very important presence, so that people know that the meeting is, in fact, active. So I went out and searched, and I could not find a web page. However, I did find something promising. I did a little searching and a little kind of chain of consciousness searching there, and found actually a couple people that had just personal blogs out on the web, and I found out that they also tried to meet at that same coffee house, the same coffee place that you did, looking for the same meeting, and they were posting in their blogs how disappointed they were that no one showed up, that no one was there for the 2600 meeting. So it's not only you that had this problem. There are obviously people that are looking to get this going and get it started. There are people who do want to get together and talk. So, I am trying to get in touch with him. Believe it or not, I looked everywhere on his blog site and couldn't find an email address to contact him. So, I'm trying some things, trying Webmaster, see if I can get in touch with him and mention to him that, you know, there are other people in his area and see if maybe you can get you guys hooked up and maybe get it going again. All you got to do is get a couple people going and it'll grow from there. You've got to make people realize that it's still going on, and a website will go far into that. Again, as Cy Pete's going to be able to say that too. And again, I mentioned before, this happened to me. I went to the first meeting and I didn't see anybody there. I went back the next week and there were people there. You know, sometimes it's just people couldn't make it for one simple reason or another. So definitely don't chance it on one meeting. And now we get like 15 people or more, don't we?
Well, easily 20 people last time.
Yeah, 15 to 20 people and growing every time. We've had a new person like every month for the past few months. So it just has to get started. There's obviously people interested. There's obviously people that are, you know, willing to go. You just got to get people excited and let them know that it exists. And it sounds like, you know, if you're really interested, you may be the one that just organizes it a bit. You know, you don't have to over-organize it, which I've been accused of on many occasions. You don't have to go completely overboard, but just put up a website. I mean, would that be your advice?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The one most crucial thing I'd say about getting enough people to your meeting was to have a way to contact them all and to organize. Organizing is the one way that people will keep going. Because if you go to one meeting your first time and you don't find anyone there, chances are you're not going to go back again because you're thinking, oh, the meeting's dead, and I didn't see any website where the other 25 people who regularly go were, talking about what they talk about the next time. And on that website, they happened to mention they wouldn't be there for the first 30 minutes because they wanted to go to CompUSA and do some,
whatever.
Search or whatever.
Shopping.
Yeah, shopping, sure, whatever. And so basically, having a website or a mailing list or some other way to organize your meeting is probably the most important part of having the meeting. Now, you may not be the coordinator of your meeting, if there is a coordinator, because no one really runs the meeting. It's just whoever decides to say, hey, everybody, we're meeting up, and you know, make sure and meet us by the Taco Bell or some crap like that. And you notice how I said crap there instead of something else?
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, I'm watching.
We're doing pretty well so far, if I say so myself.
Yeah, we just got to keep watching it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, when you're trying to get people to go to the meeting, for example, it's always a good idea to have flyers and stuff or write up a little card that says some basic information about where you're going to meet, when you're going to meet. Have a couple of those in your pocket, you know, and just as you're wandering through a bookstore or something, if you see a guy holding a programming book, hand him one of these little flyer cards things and say, hey, you know, we have this little meeting every month, why don't you stop by? And they're like, okay, sure. And they may not show up the first month or the second, but they may show up the third. The thing to remember is to keep going. And as you stay there each month, more people will slowly sort of build up. Even if you have your laptop open or something and a bunch of 2600s on a desk or something, and people walk by and say, hey, what's that? And they start to learn about it, they'll get more interested and they'll keep going. So definitely find a website, or if there isn't one already, go ahead and start one. You can call it the official meeting website or not, doesn't really matter, and then let 2600 know. If they don't have it already in their official list of websites, go and email them, and every month tell them, hey, I'm still going to the meetings, and there's not that many people going, but I'm still dedicated to it, and eventually they'll put it on their official list. And as soon as the meeting and the meeting's website is on their official list on 2600.com, then a lot of more people will start coming, because that's the one place that they go to check if that kind of stuff is there.
Yeah, and unfortunately the problem here is that it is on their official list at 2600, but there's no website address and there's no contact person.
That's another thing that becomes a problem, actually, because obviously they don't hire anybody to look over the list. They've got to have over 500 or 1,000 or so different entries on the list. And, you know, after months and months, the stuff gets stale because some meetings will die and some meetings will just grow out of nothing. So every year or so, they look over their list, and if there's any dead links or something, then they take it off their list and say, oh, the meeting's not, they're not emailing us telling them about the meeting anymore, so we'll just assume they don't exist. Or if people start complaining that no one's going, then they'll take it off the list, and that's the problem. You have to actually tell them that you're going so that they actually know that their people are going.
Right.
And let's see, what else was it? Pretty much just the whole thing about the meeting is, you know, if you don't have someone else to meet there, then chances are they're not going to even know that you're out there for the meeting. So wearing some kind of 2600 gear or any other hacker gear or, you know, web internet type of culture gear.
Yeah, I usually show up first at our meeting, and I just bust out the laptop. That's, you know, the most obvious thing I can bring.
Yeah, a laptop is usually a good indication, but again, if you're, say, meeting at a mall or something, there's a lot of people that could have laptops, so wearing a little hat that says, I am Leet, even though it's kind of lame, can at least attract the kind, you know, people will know you're not there because you wear this every day to school and work and stuff.
Unless, of course, you do wear that to school every day and work and stuff.
Yeah, then, yeah, question that a bit.
Because remember, I come straight from work, so I definitely don't dress the part. I don't, my dress is definitely not going to draw people over and say, you know, that there's a 2600 meeting going on. Well, a laptop with the stickers, though, that say, I am Elite or whatever they say, that helps.
Yeah. But, yeah, getting embarrassed thing, you really don't need to get embarrassed about that kind of thing. I mean, you know.
Totally not. Like I said, treat it as, hell, go get a cup of coffee. Jeez, you never gone to get a cup of coffee before?
Exactly. Just, you know, sit and chill and wait for the people. If you wait there for, like, 15 minutes and you don't see anybody and then you leave, chances are someone was an hour late or an hour and a half late. A lot of times people will come either early or late, and if you don't stick around, you miss them. So,
and I don't know if it's appropriate. I don't see why it's not, but you also might search. I didn't think about this till just now. You might check to see if there's a DEF CON meeting. They may have just changed the name. I know that's happened to a lot of groups. There may be a DEF CON group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have switched over to it, or they may be running concurrently. I know some places do that, where it's kind of a joint meeting. You may do a search for DEF CON meeting in that area. They may have just moved locations, changed names.
Yeah,
so that might be another thing to look into.
We were talking earlier about the fact that supposedly there was a meeting near us in Miami, a DEF CON meeting, that had this website put up, and they were in the official list of DEF CON meetings and whatnot. But the problem is, no one else seems to be interested in the meeting because no one seems to be updating the website with any information, like, oh, I went this month and nobody came, but I'm still going to keep going. You know, putting something like that is important because otherwise people are just going to think that it's dead. At this point, it probably is dead because it's been several months of no real updates, other than some mailings that I think you've gotten.
Yeah, they seem to be trying to revive it. I don't know how well it's going to go, but Unfortunately, it's a little bit out of my way, but...
Yeah, it's a little closer to me, but still.
But the point that you're illustrating is... This illustrates the point you were making, and that is that the simple act of receiving an email from them tells me that that meeting is active.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody said, hey, is there a meeting in Miami, I would have said... 2-3 months ago, I would have said, no, the site's been dead for a year. But if they would have asked me recently, I would have said, I think they are active because I'm getting emails from them. So
that actually reminds me of the Miami story. For a while, probably a good 4 to 8 years, the big meeting in South Florida was the Miami 2600 meeting, where they'd get anywhere from 5 to 30 or 40 people sometimes. They would have several tables just full of people there.
Nice.
I'm sorry?
I said nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, they had this raised seating in the Dadeland Mall where all these, you know, bunch of hackers would come and sort of sit and chat, and they'd get some food from Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or something.
That's right. We feed the commerce of the mall, damn you people out there.
That's right. All these mall security people hassling us because we've got laptops out and because we trip people over with our laptop cores. And, you know, I mean, hey, it's not our fault. You should make it more accessible or something.
Exactly. Welcome to the year 2004. Upgrade.
Yeah, and some wireless access points in these malls wouldn't be a bad idea.
Amen!
I mean, how better of a way to get the already fat Americans to just chow down more food than to make them sit there in one place for hours at a time just buying food continuously and browsing the web? How much can it cost them?
Oh, hey, I'd move my office to the mall.
Yeah, I mean, there's already tons of kiosks at the mall that have... what they claim is a T1, like a full T1, in their little kiosk, like the Dell kiosk. Hell, even if it was DSL, even if it was iDSL, that would be enough for me. A little bit higher than a modem speed would be great for me. Just sit at the mall, read some email, SSH to home, do some coding or something. It would be perfect. But no, they'd rather just make us pay insane amounts, like... the coffee shops that they require you to spend like $20 just to surf for a couple of hours while you're drinking your coffee.
Well, not according to ZeroDB, if you read his recent findings.
Well, this is just based on my previous information.
Right.
These coffee shops, especially the T-Mobile access stations, which I tried to get into, but didn't get very far. But in any case.
Anyway.
The Miami meeting was good.
Nice rant, by the way.
Thank you. The Miami meeting was okay, I should say. Because I noticed something that a lot of people have been telling us about our 954 2600 meeting, which is that there are elitist people, or at least the people don't seem that friendly to new people. And I noticed that at the Miami meeting because you'd get the obviously hardcore hacksaws who knew a lot more than you did sitting at this little table. There'd be 7 or 8 of them, tightly knit group. Obviously, they've been friends for a while now. Talking about who knows what, usually not even really tech-related, just general, you know, how are you, oh, I'm fine, did I tell you about this girl, yeah, she's a total slut. So, then there'd be the other people, like the sort of average users, and then the sort of neophytes, sort of gathered away from the elite hacksaws, and they felt, I, for one, was one of those, and I felt left out. I felt like I wanted to learn stuff, and I thought that, you know, they could be really useful, and they could teach me some stuff, and that would be really cool, but they apparently just didn't want to talk to someone who wasn't already, you know, as knowledgeable as they were, so they sort of just separated onto a different table. And at our meeting, we don't really have that many people yet, but what I try to do is at least say hello to each new person that I see, and, you know, hi, what do you do? Are you more interested in hardware or software is the most common topic that I have to come up with. And, you know, the big problem we are having is because we can't really organize our tables that well. So having one conversation with more than 2 different people at a time is really difficult. So, of course, there's going to be people sitting at the end that can only listen because even if they wanted to chime in, we couldn't hear them. So it's difficult for new users. But something to consider is that when you're going to a meeting for the first time, get involved. Don't just sit from the sidelines. It's fine to sit from the sidelines, but... you know, you're not going to learn, and you're just going to feel left out. Just ask a question. Just start talking to someone. Be open. Being antisocial does not help you learn as a hacker, really. So, the Miami meeting, going back to that again.
By the way, for the listeners, that was a little jab at me he snuck in there, because he wants me to have the tables all arranged when I get there.
Hey, I never said that. I just said that, you know, it would be nice if we could figure out an arrangement that we could do at each meeting, okay?
I usually just pull up a table as people arrive, but by the time more and more people arrive, it's kind of awkward for me to pull up 20 tables all at the same time and sit by myself. So I usually just kind of do it and wing it as we go along.
Whatever, you know, it's just a meeting.
I know.
No big deal. But, yeah, I usually do the you arrangement so that we can get around to different conversations easier. But in any case.
Kind of like going to Pop Goes the Weasel Dance at the strip club where everybody gets to see every one of the stripper girls and they go from... I'm sorry, never mind, take that out. Pretend I didn't say that.
Okay. Anyway. So, back to the Miami meeting again.
That was a good one.
So, anyway, eventually, these tight-knit group of hackers just stopped coming for some reason. I guess they got jobs or they got back into school or something. And they slowly but surely, the higher-ranking members stopped coming and their friends stopped coming and their friends stopped coming. And eventually all you had was a bunch of non-regulars coming and checking out the meeting, and they'd meet one or two new people, and they'd talk about whatever, but there wouldn't be really that much interesting stuff to talk about. So they thought, oh, this isn't that great. And, as an aside, because the regulars weren't coming anymore, no one was updating the website. So people thought that the meeting was dead, even though the new people were still coming. And they had a mailing list that eventually every so often someone would email it, and I had stopped coming a long time ago because Miami was just too far for me to do every month. And at this point, I had already started up the 954 meeting because it was a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I had started it with the idea that I could have a local meeting for people in this area instead of just everybody from down south. And so eventually, after a year or a half or so, 2600 got this big, they got all their energy together, and they decided they were going to clean up their meeting list, and they got rid of a whole slew of meetings. I think actually probably two or three Florida meetings got killed, and one or two got added, which was nice. And we helped foster one or two of them in the early days, and finally they got in, which was cool.
And we've fostered one recently. We've been sub-hosting one of the other Florida 2600 groups on our site.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Can't remember which one it was.
But. Tampa?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I actually lived in Tampa for 6 months, and I wanted to start a meeting there, but then I had to move after 6 months, so I didn't get a chance to. But I'm really glad that they have one in Tampa now, because there's quite a few people up there that are probably interested in it, because there's, like, a lot of tech up there anyway. So the key is to keep updating your meetings and stuff, otherwise you're going to end up like this Miami meeting. Actually, I stopped updating the website for our meeting a while back. I sort of stepped back and said, okay, I'm not going to organize it anymore because it was just a little bit too much work for me personally. I had other stuff I wanted to do, and I didn't want to have to find a ride to the meeting because I didn't have a car yet. And I just wanted to step back from it. And so I said, okay, whoever wants to start running the website, just let me know. I'll forward all the emails to you, I'll switch all the domains over to you, and you can just do whatever the hell you want to do with it. And eventually, Ustankdog and ZeroDB decided to get a domain and just sort of put up a site, and it grew into what it is today, which is with forums and, you know, like articles and stuff. And it's still growing, but I think it's a pretty good site, and it's certainly good enough for, you know, just communicating amongst everybody else.
And do you know we have 40 registered members on that site?
That's not bad. I remember back in the day, way back in the day, when I had the little really, really, really crappy site that I did, and we put up a Matt Script Archive message board, which was just one big page with everybody's posts,
mm-hmm.
and it was a slew of posts. So message boards are probably one of the best ways to communicate, I think. Because we had tons of people posting until they kicked our freaking web account because we had a web page detailing how to use Net Zero dial-up without actually paying for it after a certain amount of time.
Uh-huh.
Or, no, it was using the ads. It was a way to get around the ads, and Hypermart didn't like that, so they got rid of it, and they deleted all our files, and that was nice of them.
Great.
Yeah, but, oh, well.
All right, well.
But, yeah,
there you go.
Keeping the news updates is good, and having some way for everybody to talk, a mailing list like the one that we have now, which was graciously set up by ZeroDB, to give them props for that. And that's pretty much all you need to know. Just keep going. If you think people aren't going, just, you know, make sure you keep staying there for a good hour or two. Just chill out and read a magazine or something. Have a little baseball cap on, since 2600 or something. A little sticker or something won't kill you. And that's about all there is. And if you think that this meeting really is dead, and for wherever area of the country you are in, and there's no meeting near you, don't be afraid to just start up your own meeting. There's details all over the web. 2600 has their little guidelines, and you can go to whatever the URL is at 2600.com, and they'll explain to you how you can start passing out flyers. You can email 2600, set up your own website, and keep updating it. And as you progress, if there really is a community around you for hackers, then people will start going. Mm-hmm. And then you can have your own, you know, little subculture in your own little area of town that's just dedicated to how you have fun.
Yeah, there's got to be, there really does have to be a lot more people in there. He's just outside of L.A., it sounds like, a little bit outside of L.A. There's got to be a lot of other people there, so definitely go follow up on it, and we'll see. Like I said, I'm trying to get in touch with some people in your area and see if we can get something going for you.
Sounds cool.
All right. Boy, we're running low here, so let's start burning through some of these. I got another email from Swamp Rat. It says, if you guys don't mind, I would like to make a commercial for our radio station to advertise you guys at BenRev. We have been carrying your stream when you're live and your past archives for a week now, and it's been a great response from our listeners. We have links up to you guys already, but would like to make a professional radio commercial. One thing, can you guys mention us on the next show? Okay, done. Check. We are Black Shoe Radio Network. www.blackshoe.net. Okay, absolutely. Obviously, there's your plug. Have fun with that. Go check them out. And I've already emailed back and told them, of course, that they're more than welcome to do what they want to do with the show, as long as everybody goes by, and not just for them, but anybody, you're more than welcome to take the show. Just stick with the Creative Commons license that we've created. And it's very, very free. It's not very restrictive at all. You can do what you want to do with it. Just don't sell it. Don't make money off of it, because we're not. So I don't want someone else making money off of it. And, you know, I don't want people editing it and changing out, you know, and taking credit away, or trying to give credit to someone else, taking someone's name off of it and putting someone else's and claiming it as their own. So as long as you just go by the Creative Commons license, don't modify the ID3 tags, you know, leave the credit in there and stuff like that. I even don't mind if you take, if there's only, say we talked about a particular subject and you don't want the whole show, you only want part of it. I don't have a problem with you doing that either. Cut and edit the MP3 all you want to. Just keep the proper credit in there, and, you know, maybe a link back to us would be nice. I don't think that's too much to ask. And other than that, I'm very, very open. I want you guys to spread this, do what you want to do with it. I'm very cool with that. Okay, another one here we got from Nave, and he says, hey, Stank Dog, I am a fan of the show and an ex-comp sci major in Vermont, now InfoSys, Information Systems. I enjoy listening to you at work during the days. I wanted to send you a link to my music in the hopes that you find something you like and might play on your show. The website I did for a stupid class and was forced to use Front Page. It was a baloney assignment. Boy, I'm doing good today. But they let me use their server space for my files. I'm paraphrasing. I'll put this as kind of a long link. I'll put it up in the show notes. If you have time, I always appreciate creative criticism. Mail me back your thoughts. Thanks for the good show to listen to during my grueling work days. Yeah, I do the same thing. I listen to Default Radio, In the Now, all these other shows, Uberlito I mentioned earlier, during the work day while I'm coding and stuff like that. So I'm glad you like it and find it interesting. And I did just this morning get around to listening to some of your stuff, so I'm actually going to close the show out later with the most recent track that you have on it. So thanks for listening to the show, and we'll close with that later on to end out the show. Let's see. We got a couple more here. We got an email from Rafe, R-A-I-F. Dear Stank and co-host, that would be you.
Yep.
See, and just also for the record, soon, it's not always going to be Stank and co-host. I'm looking forward to a vacation soon and turning the show over to some people for a while. So I know it seems like it's always Stank and insert name here, but that's not the case at all. And more importantly, is the insert name here. Those are the people that give me best content. I'm just the pilot, I guess. Everybody else is the one that's doing all the work. I'm just the guy trying to overanalyze it and write show novels.
Aw, shucks.
Anyway, a couple of days ago, I was Googling for plans for some homebrew electronics and found Binary Revolution. It warms the cockles of my heart.
Can you repeat that word, please?
Warms?
No, the one before it.
It?
Okay, the one, two words after it.
Cockles?
Yeah. Wait, I didn't hear it right. Could you say it again?
It warms the cockles.
Okay, I heard it.
The cockles of my heart. That is kind of a cool word. I don't think I've ever gotten that one in an email before either. That's another first.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hope it's not the last. Cockles is a word that should be used more often.
Oh, definitely.
Because it warms the cockles of my heart to hear people say cockles.
Mm, me too.
It warms the cockles of this gentleman's heart to see someone giving back to the hacker community like you and DDP are. Anyway, enough ass-guessing. No, keep coming. Keep coming. All right, fine. I'm going to be doing some pen testing next month on a wireless network. I use Kismet for sniffing and AirSnort for web cracking. I know I can crack the network within a few days, but I want to drive home the point that wireless is very vulnerable. That's why I've been searching for plans for a 2.4 gigahertz jammer. I know you can make one with a microwave, but I don't want to fry any organic life that may get in the way. Any ideas for a homebrew jammer? Thanks, guys.
Well, actually, I just heard on today or yesterday or something, someone had made wallpaper which was able to reflect radio frequencies.
Yeah, actually, I have that in the show notes for the next show. I was going to bring that up. I saw that exact same thing. And we talked about the idea of a jammer on very, very early episodes of Binary Revolution Radio, like in the single digits, I think we talked about it, back with when Wintermute was on the show fairly regularly. So what I did is I went and contacted Wintermute. He's our resident expert on ham and radio waves and stuff like that. So I contacted Wintermute on his European vacation, his tour of the world, and he gives us the following answer. Quote, those are some nice links to all sorts of commercial and homebrew jamming devices. He's referring to a couple of links that he sent, and I will put them up in the show notes. From what I understand, consult the other radio gurus on the DDP forums, or the BinRev forums, all a jammer is a radio that emits a strong carrier wave. What's a carrier wave? A carrier wave is a sine wave, like in math class, that is at a certain frequency. For instance, 100 megahertz is right in the middle of the broadcast FM band, so that sine wave has 100 million cycles per second. For some cell phones, it's around 800 megahertz. For Wi-Fi Bluetooth, it's 2.4 gigahertz. To accomplish your jamming goal, you would need a transmitter for around the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum. All the channels occupy 30 megahertz in total, starting at 2.412 gigahertz for channel 1 and 0.005 gigahertz or 5 megahertz spacings after that. 802.11g is on the same frequencies but uses a different method of sending the data, so it is still blockable. The carrier you transmit prevents the receivers listening and transmitting for their 2.4 gigahertz signals from doing so. I saw a cell phone jammer at H2K2, and it works very effectively. For the home brewer, I recommend snooping around amateur radio websites for plans on transmitters. If one had enough driver foo, they can modify a wireless card to act as a jamming device, I would bet.
Well, that's really dependent on the card itself, and both the firmware and the actual hardware itself, because a lot of these different cards won't allow you to tune them, but there are some cards that will let you tune manually which frequency you're at.
Right. So it would definitely be an interesting project to try anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll give you one of the addresses as short, and it is globalgadgetuk.com. And I have another one here. It's just too long to read on the air, but I'll put that up in the show notes as well. So those are a couple good sites to get you started. And let us know if you find out more. I would love to see if you actually put something together. And possibly, I think that'd make a good article. If you want to write an article on that for BinRev Magazine, I would be very interested in reading that myself. Even if it's not BinRev, I'd love to read that.
If they do write in an article, I would love to build it, and we could turn it into a Hack TV segment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's another great idea. Absolutely. Okay, the last email for this show is from PC Del Home. Stankford, I want to thank you for every episode of BenRev. They're entertaining and edumacational. I try to be edumacational as much as I can. I've been learning about computers and different hacking techniques for about 11 years now, and it's time for me to get involved and do my part in helping the hacker community in any way possible. My question, however, pertains to the legality of showing others, quote, illegal methods of using technology. For example, in Hack TV number 1, you explained war driving, but it was not in depth. Is it illegal to show, for instance, how to use a web browser, a router address, and a default password and username to gate remote access to a system? Even if you're doing it to your own access point to teach others? I want to teach others these, quote, illegal methods, but I also want to teach them how to defend against them. If indeed it is okay for others to learn about illegal techniques, why is it such a taboo to discuss them in a public forum? By the way, did Dual Parallel ever make any episodes of Hacker Public Radio? Where can I download them from if he did? Keep up the good work. DDP has my respect. Oh yeah, here's a show topic request. Peek-a-booty. Okay, now, there's a lot of stuff in here to address. First of all, you're correct in your assumption of legalities and how they affect what we produce, whether it's Hack TV, this radio show, articles that we write even, and it's conundrum. Ooh, that's a good word. That's a conundrum that hackers have faced for a long time, regardless of our projects, DDP, or anything. It's something that hackers have, you know, that's the ongoing irony that is a hacker. Do you report things under the guise or the risk that they may be illegal? Even though, yes, it may inform and teach people and teach them how to protect themselves, you know, there's always that double standard of, you know, you're showing somebody something that could be negative but could be positive. So that's just an ongoing feud and part of the life of being a hacker. As far as Hack TV specifically you mentioned, yeah, there's absolutely, there was a whole lot of footage that was on the cutting room floor, as they say, a lot of stuff that got edited out for legal concerns. Absolutely. There's some stuff in there that was, we just felt that we'd err on the side of caution and just be safe. We had some really great anonymous submissions, like the road sign hacking, for example. Cy Pete, that was a pretty good segment, didn't you think?
Which one?
The road sign hacking segment in Hack TV 01.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
That was submitted to us anonymously. And because of that, that made it a little bit easier for us to present because we don't know where it came from. We couldn't give up any information. That gives us a little bit of protection. That's no different than, you know, taking a videotape and dropping it off at a news station or writing a letter in an envelope with no return address or something, you know, and taking it and delivering it, something like that. We received it. We can reproduce it within reason.
Right.
You know, within reason, of course.
It shows something really, really, really illegal or, you know, just completely out of taste or some bad taste or something, then, yeah, obviously you can't just post that because...
Well, not only for legal reasons, but for moral reasons, I just won't do it.
Right.
You know, I'm opposed to that. We are not... I'm speaking for myself, but I'm just not going to... You know, that doesn't do anything for me. So, yeah. Now, as far as, you know... You mentioned doing it to your own network, for example. Yeah, I mean, that's something else hackers have brought up and explained in regards to not only war driving, but, you know, that's why we set up war games, where we have permission and we can hack our own networks or our own, people have volunteered to set these things up so that we can all hack and work together in a controlled environment. So I'm not a lawyer, I don't play one on TV or on the radio show or anything, but where is that gray area crossed or that gray line crossed as far as what we can and can't show on television? Well, obviously, in our war driving segment, we went through the act of war driving, and that is simply sniffing and seeing what we could find and explaining what we found and what could happen with it, but we're not about to show it because it was obviously not our network. So we were not going to trespass on a network without permission, and we did not. So, we have actually discussed demonstrating some stuff on our own networks. We do have upcoming topics on future episodes. Nothing filmed yet, so by all means, if you're considering filming or anybody, by all means, film something like that on your own network where you can demonstrate start to finish a simulation of every step that you could have done or that can be done, and even better, how to stop it or how to prevent it, that would be fantastic. That is absolutely, I think, perfectly valid and something that, yes, I would gladly show, put on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very good point. But, yes, we do have to be careful and protect ourselves, and, you know, there's only so much we can do. Other hacking shows, which shall remain nameless, didn't even show you a computer turned on, for crying out loud.
Was so, this a particular one that we always have a little problem with?
I'm not going to mention any names, but, you know, we'll just leave that alone. At least we showed, I think we took it as far as we were comfortable with.
Mm.
And, you know, as far as we, I think as far as we could for this point in time.
Yeah.
Until laws change, if they change.
Certainly at Hope we could probably find someone, or one of the public terminals, find someone skilled enough to show us a neat little trick, and then do it on one of the terminals at Hope. That's one of the things I actually wanted to touch on, was that at Hope I'm going to be maintaining, or creating actually, the second floor is a public terminal cluster, and so basically that gives me free access to do whatever the hell I wanted to do on the cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, you know, do a whole bunch of stuff, but obviously, with, you know, since we have permission, you know, of ourselves, because we're going to be running most of the network, myself and one or two other guys there at Hope, you know, we could do whatever we wanted to do to those computers, especially if we, like, segmented a couple of them off and let someone have, like, a little mini rootware. But, yeah, so submitting stuff, as long as it's, you know, within the scope of legalness, God, my words are failing me now. But
and morality.
And morality, yeah. Obviously, you don't want to like trade personal information, even if it's, you know, in a private competition or something. You don't want to give out certain information of other people, especially, or even of yourself. Just, you know.
Right, and I will definitely have my digital camera with me at Hope, so if anybody has some ideas or wants to film something, I'm hoping some spontaneous hacking happens and we can get some segments and some stuff filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also asked about Hacker Public Radio. HPR has not been released yet. There are no episodes of HPR available, so I can't tell you where to download it, but I can tell you, frankly, that it's just not the top priority for Mr. Parallel right now. That's kind of a, you know, that was kind of the point of HPR, and he was on and talked about it a few episodes back about how it's going to be when he gets time and when everybody gets organized and can get together, when he gets the guests that he wants. So you have to work out logistics and schedules of all the people that he wants involved so that you can get it together. So, no, there are none out now, but there will be when he gets around to it, and they will be nice, long, in-depth discussions on particular topics. So, yeah, just check out binrev.com. More importantly, oldschoolfreak.com, and I'm sure that will be the first place that information is released when HBR becomes available. Right now, like we just said, we're gearing up for Hope. You know, we're heading up to NYC, heading up to Brooklyn. No, where are we going? Not Brooklyn. Where is it? Manhattan?
Yeah, Manhattan.
Manhattan, heading up to Manhattan. So everything that we've been doing lately is gearing up for that and other projects that we got going on. So, yeah, it's probably still going to be a while, frankly, before that gets going on. And the other topic you mentioned about Peekaboo, you suggested that as a show topic. Well, that is a good show topic, so we're going to come back to that. But for right now, we're going to close up the mailbag. We're going to do our little show and tell, which I'm going to make quick because we're definitely running low on time. We got maybe 15. Yeah, we got about 15 minutes left, 15, 20. So, for the show and tell, now let's see. We had last week the Telephonic Craptacular, so that was basically a clip show, so kind of a couple weeks here, and it's been a busy couple of weeks for me. I guess I can announce officially that I have finished proofreading Binary Revolution Magazine 2.1. We will, barring a catastrophe now. I'm not going to guarantee, but barring a catastrophe, I'll have the final proofs from Logan 5 next weekend, and we'll have them go to get them printed and probably debut them at Hope.
Hopefully we'll be able to get them all done within 2 weeks from...
Yeah, and printing. We've got to get printing worked out, which we'll talk about that later, but
okay.
We've got about a week before I get the final proofs, and the day that I get them, I'm going to need to start printing one way or another, but that's not a topic for the show. So, yeah, that's been my major focus, and that was my number one priority, was getting this done, regardless of Hope, but ideally I wanted to get it done to Hope so we could take it with us. Also working on my Hope presentation, that slipped in priorities, unfortunately, but I definitely need to put some time into that. I was also working on a little MySQL database, a little side project, some PHP coding, which I've never done before, so I'm kind of learning and teaching myself as I go, but definitely the MySQL part of it, I've got the databases set up and working, everything seems to be good, a couple glitches here and there that I was able to adapt to, so I'm feeling more comfortable with that. And my number two priority, I finally bumped up, again I mentioned earlier, and that is the DDP Hack Radio server. And frankly, we'll use that as a transition to you, because I spent about the last week or so getting that going as best as I could to my ability within my limitations. And frankly, I'm just not that as proficient as I should be or could be using Linux. So I called in the expert here, and
So I just, you know, got into the server a little bit and looked around, and you'd already set it up mostly. I only did very minor hacking of the config files and stuff. And what we ended up doing was setting up two things. The first was making it a little bit easier and a little bit more reliable to stream stuff to the server, and so that we can set up, hopefully, a scheduling system, which we'll discuss in a little bit.
Right, and when you say the server, let's clarify, where the problems we were having was with Shoutcast, so we decided to give Icecast a shot.
Right, so now we're using Icecast 2, which is an open source, unlike Shoutcast, streaming audio server, which can do both AUG and MP3 data, and that allows us to do a variety of different formats, so I think it actually still streams out in either AUG or MP3, so we'll probably still stick to streaming MP3 data just because it's a lot easier and most people already support it. But essentially, Icecast 2 allows us to both do a lot more than Shoutcast allowed us to originally, as well as being able to expand it to whatever we want to, because we can hack the code to do whatever we want to do. And in addition to switching to Icecast 2, we're also going to start doing a playlist that will automatically be played whenever one of the live streams or a scheduled show is not playing. If, for example, you know, it's not Tuesday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whenever it is that the stream usually starts, if it's just Wednesday or Thursday and you're bored and you have nothing to listen to, you can tune in to the stream, and there will be one of the old shows or some other show that's, you know, being featured, or someone talking about some sort of subject, which is thought was interesting, and it'll always be playing whenever a scheduled stream isn't streaming. So that's kind of useful. And then also, I've been working on a couple of different things for BinRev just to keep everything going, really, because considering all the work that StankDog and the other people involved with both BinRev and DDP do for the 2600 meeting down here, I've just been contributing little things like a Perl script, which allows StankDog to save a little bit on his bandwidth bills by rotating each link download of the HackTV to one of the other mirrors or the site itself, because the big problem has been the bandwidth, not being enough bandwidth, because everybody keeps hitting the main site instead of the mirrors, and StankDog just can't afford the amount of bandwidth that it would take to keep, you know, doing it from the same site. So I just wrote a script which essentially just runs in sequence between all the different mirrors as each person hits it, and depending on certain options, most people will basically just need to actually use one of the other mirrors instead of the main site. The other thing I've been doing is my free time, what little there is available, between working at the Hope servers I'm going to have ready in a week or two without the proper gear, between doing my normal job, 9 to 5 and all that stuff, is setting up a scheduling system, very cheap, crude, hacked scheduling system, which will allow whoever StankDog allows to basically create their own little show, 1 hour segments, I assume, or whatever length they really want to.
Right.
Fill out a little form, then upload an MP3 to the BinRev site, and at the scheduled time, their show will start playing. And you'll be able to see the list of all the different shows playing, whatever they're going to play in the future. And, hell, we could probably even get so fancy as to make some kind of RSS feed so that you could automatically know when the next show was or something like that. But that's not intended. Right now, what's only intended is so that we can have a very easy, simple way of scheduling shows and viewing when the next show is and things like that.
Right, and just to remind everybody, I know I've said this on it several times, but people sometimes forget that we are not streaming live. What you are hearing is recorded. It's almost live. It's we're just finishing recording just barely in time to go live with the show. That's not, you know, it's not delayed a whole lot. Usually a day, maybe 2 days ahead of time, sometimes hours ahead of time. But it is almost always recorded. So what I want to do ideally is to upload that MP3 and basically automate the entire process. And that's not only us. We're not the only ones that do that, but several shows use that format. And we would allow them to upload their show and know and trust that it will be streamed at the appropriate time. However, we also need to maintain the ability for shows to stream or air live, like Default Radio frequently does, off and on, whenever they're available for it. And in the future on BenRev Radio, I would like to start doing some occasional live shows. So we need the functionality of both. And at the same time, use that playlist, which is we've had with Shoutcast now, but it's not consistent. It drops quite a bit. So we're trying to wrap all this up. So we're working on the logistics. When I say we, I mean Pete is working on the logistics. Well, I'm working on the logistics part. You're working on the coding part and the logistics part. But I'm basically trying to make sure that we don't overlook anything because it's tricky, and you got to think. I know a lot of people like to just dive into code. Sometimes you got to think ahead of time, wait a minute, let's think of the best way to do it and how we're going to work around these other limitations and other things and other needs that we have. So it's going to be a couple steps and a couple different scripts, different programs, if you will, to do what we want to do, including having a dynamic schedule that you can go to every time that automatically tells you shows that are pre-scheduled for the upcoming week. So
certainly. And so, if anyone wants to contribute to my code or has already created a scheduling system to make my job a whole lot easier, go ahead and contact me at, I guess, either scipete@gmail.com, an address that StankDog graciously just hooked me up with, or scifreak@freaker.net. The spelling is the hacker way of spelling freaker, P-H's. And just let me know if you want to help. I'd use Perl code usually, but I can probably use PHP if you're already doing PHP. And, you know, if you just want to help out, feel free to contact me.
All right. Now, we've got about 10 more minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, actually. So,
extra material.
Yeah. No, actually, let's jump into Peekabooty as requested.
Oh, okay.
Somebody mentioned that they wanted some information on Peekabooty. Not that we're definitely not experts or gurus on it, but I think it is a good general topic that for those of you who don't know what it is at all, we can definitely explain what it is and a little bit about how it works. And if somebody does have more experience and knows more, by all means, email us and let us know. You know, we like to learn ourselves, not only, you know, giving out the information or regurgitating what we know. We'd like to hear more if somebody has more experience with it.
Thank Dog. What is Peekabooty?
Peekabooty. Well, Peekabooty started in July of 2000. Terminology-wise, they say Peekabooty is a distributed peer-to-peer network. Now, you and I have had that conversation on peer-to-peer network, and I understand now that it's a lot more broad definition than I originally used to think. But what it is firewalls, the way they work, is they can block access to certain sites based on any number of criteria, basically. Anything, whether it's IP addresses they can block, or they can even filter through packets for certain keywords or URLs or things like that. And these firewalls can be, built right into your cable modem or something local at your house. They can be at your job. You know, your job probably filters out maybe porn sites or stuff like that, questionable material, yada, yada, yada. Or even on the ISP backbones, if you want to go top level, you can go up to the ISP or even the telcos for that matter. And what happens is, we in the United States, we do have it's getting tighter and tighter lately, and we won't go into this rant, especially what we saw on Slashdot today. We won't go there. But in this country, we do have freedom of speech. We do have a lot of freedoms in this country, and other countries do not have that luxury.
China.
Yeah, they're one of them. They're very much one of them. So, and frankly, even though, even in this country, there are still filters. Your job filters things out, some ISPs, net nannies, those type of things. There's all kinds of ways to block access and to restrict the free flow of information. That's really all there is. So, without going into right, wrong, should, morality, without even touching on that, the goal of Peekabooty is to bring free speech to the masses, to those who do not normally enjoy the freedom of speech.
So essentially, it's guerrilla networking for the oppressed masses.
That's a very aggressive-sounding political term, sure.
Well, yeah, very violent with my terms.
There you go.
But yeah, I heard about this about 4 years ago, and it sounded like a good idea when it came out. I believe the CDC actually fostered the project. It may be under a different direction now, but I thought that was who started it.
That sounds vaguely familiar, if I remember.
Yeah, and their idea was basically to provide access to websites that China filtered out, and other countries, obviously, and other governments and jurisdictions, to allow people to view websites, for example, in places where they couldn't. So you could actually use Google using this tool in China, whereas normally you're not allowed to because their ISPs filter off those websites and those search engines. So the idea, as far as I could tell, was basically just a decentralized network where each client connects to itself, kind of like the Nutella network, if you've ever used that, clients like BearShare and LimeWire and such. Well, all you have to do is have a list of a few pre-existing hosts. You just connect to each one of those hosts and you make a connection and you get lists of more hosts, and you just build these big lists of all the different nodes on the network, and you keep an active connection to a certain number of hosts. And if you want to go to a website, you type in www.google.com and it sends it out to a certain number of these hosts that are connected to you.
Well, first of all, it's going to try to see if it can access that, if it's allowed. Obviously, if it's allowed to access Google, it's not restricted, it will.
Oh, right.
Only when it's denied by the firewall, or again, we said I emphasized earlier the ISP backbone, their firewall, or even the telcos. Obviously, more precisely, the biggest application of this is what he said with countries. Countries are stopping access to this through, well, on the telco level, basically, on their ISP backbones and stuff to certain countries or anywhere else. So it's going to check, first of all, to see if that country, whether it's a Class A address, top, you know, everything within a country, for example, or everything with certain extensions, is allowed to access it or not. If it's not, that's when the Peekabooty would kick in, the way I understand it.
Right. Okay. So, pretty simple then. It just pass off the information, probably encrypted, to safeguard the poor soul that has to live in, you know, behind these kind of access restrictions. And then it'll pass it off, and one of the other nodes that is in an unrestricted area, if it can access it, will just pass the information back to the originally requesting node, which would be your computer, and then you could see it. And of course, this would be good for, you know, places like China and stuff, but it'd also be good if you're in an office or in a school where they filter on keywords like hacker, anarchy, 2600, and murder, assuming that they were all the same thing, which I've seen in some filters, amazingly enough, so that in this school or office or whatnot, you could actually access sites like 2600 or BinRev or FL2600.com and get through without having some stupid firewall or access filter deny you. The big thing would be to actually find a host which has Peekabooty client to be able to download to that machine. You'd probably have to put it on an FTP or something so they couldn't filter that out.
Well, actually, it's funny. You said it probably encrypted, and actually, to look down on the actual technical level, it actually goes through HTTPS protocols.
Oh,
it actually disguises itself and hides in the HTTP secure protocols that most firewalls don't look at as precisely. It'll slip through as HTTPS packets because they're not filtered the same, if at all, because A, they might not be able to see the contents of the packets.
Right.
And B, generally they don't even bother, because that's normally private information. Even in these countries that don't want you to access certain things, you still shop online. They still give you that ability. You're allowed to do that.
Sure.
So they generally offer some protection for your privacy by ignoring those packets, because it has your private, whatever, financial information, your shopping cart, et cetera, stuff like that. So that's one of the ways that they slip through and get encryption and bypass firewalls on some occasions.
Although you have to wonder now, with new laws being passed and judgments being passed by people like the Supreme Court saying recently that, you know, a policeman or an official law officer can ask for your identification at any time, and if you don't agree to give them your identification, you could go to jail.
I thought we weren't going to go there.
Well, no, but theoretically, I'm just taking this by leaps and bounds because I like to overanalyze stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They could claim that this same, you know, access should be applied to the FBI's, what's their sniffer that they use?
Oh, Carnivore?
Carnivore, yeah. That Carnivore is now allowed to also ask for this personal information per host, and that if it can dig out the personal information from your SHTTP connection, that that's somehow legal.
Well, they've got an uphill legal battle there, because believe it or not, in a weird way, the legal community is on our side with this one, because it has been defined that that is PII, or personally identifiable information. We talked about that on the show a while back. Right now, that is still maintains some semblance of privacy.
Well, hopefully.
But again, that's right now, you know? The way things are going, you're absolutely right. Now, something else pops into mind as I read about this, too. Didn't this sounds exactly like a different project I remember called Freenet.
Yeah.
Now, what is the difference? What's the difference between Freenet and Peekabooty? Are they the same thing, or...
Well, my theory, first of all, is that Peekabooty is not used very often, if at all, because I never used it, and I don't know of anyone who actually has. But second of all, it could be that Freenet extends to more than just web pages and or files. It could be, you know, different types of media access, different types of streams. It could be actually encapsulating, Samba file transfer, for all I know. That's a little bit, you know, going out there. It probably doesn't do that, but...
Yeah, if I remember correctly about Freenet, the way it worked was strangely... I don't think it was so much peer-to-peer, because it was something to do with caching, where everybody downloaded a little bit of something.
Oh,
so it was like
it
was
like
almost like
a
it was almost like striped mirroring across the world.
I think I heard something about that, yeah, but I really just don't know.
But it sounds like it accomplished the same thing or a similar thing, just a different way. So, anyway, that is Peekabooty. That is what Peekabooty is. And, I think that is right, that it was, at least I vaguely remember it being associated with CDC, which, of course, for those of you who don't know, is Cult of the Dead Cow.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe they were somehow involved. I could be wrong. Again, somebody email me, letters@benrev.com, correct me if I am wrong. Also, one funny little warning here. Make sure if you go to Peekabooty, if you want to go check it out, it's peekabooty.org.
Yeah.
Don't go to peekabooty.com unless you're 18 or older, a consenting adult, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they had some problems actually trying to get Peekabooty. You know, they ended up getting... You have to go to... Even though they claim they have a couple different URLs now, they do not all work. Go to peek-a-booty, peekabooty, with two dashes in there, .org, if you want to go check out and read more information about this.
Reminds me of something I just read on Bash this morning. Something about how this kid apparently changed his tech high school's webpage, their IT department's webpage, from the normal page to the GoatSE image.
Oh, no, don't bring that image into my head. Ugh.
The funny part was that the tech guy pulled this up on the big screen. Without looking at the screen, he said to all the kids, "Okay, boys, we're going to all try and do this today."
Oh, no. Not me. How many ran out of the room screaming?
Yeah, hell if I know. But... Mm. Oops, there goes the curse thing.
That's all right. We can let a couple slip through, no biggie. All right, well, unless you had something else about Peekabooty, well, or anything for that matter.
Well, just that it's cool. I mean, actually, before, I was talking to a guy. If we're going to get onto peer-to-peer networks, I love talking about peer-to-peer networks.
Yes, I know you do, but be careful on the time here. We got a couple minutes.
Oh, I'll just, you know, go over. But I was talking to with a friend of mine. I forget his name, but he was talking to me because he wanted insight into creating or using peer-to-peer networks to share Linux binary files for Linux distributions, essentially. Because one of the big problems that he had was that he had this own distribution of his. And he had this huge archive of packages already he wanted to distribute, but he doesn't have a gigabit connection to, you know, let all these different people download all of his files. As you know, bandwidth is a resource. It's a very valuable resource, and he just can't get it all free.
Amen.
So he wanted another way to try and share it. Someone had suggested BitTorrent to him. And though BitTorrent is, it's useful, it's okay, it's probably a lot easier to set up than a lot of other systems out there. The problem with it is that it just isn't suited for the kind of mass downloading of these same files that you have in Linux distributions. It's much better, I think, to have a system which stays up, whereas with BitTorrent, you have to keep your window open after you've been downloading it.
Right.
Who wants to keep a window you're not using open?
Right, that part is annoying. And the other thing about BitTorrent is it's really only good for those first few days, week, maybe a couple weeks when it's first come out, because by then people have closed all their windows.
Oh, yeah. The first, you know, whenever the popular file comes up, if you see it, for example, on /dot, and you see a torrent has come up, you'll probably get the highest speeds you've ever gotten in your life on a torrent when it's been on /dot, because there will be probably a couple thousand people on there. Maybe only a couple dozen of them are seeding the torrent, but there will be a lot of people to download from, and after a couple days, it'll have died off, and there might be four people.
Right, and that's seeding from the client. Now, you can also seed from the server end, and if you get, you know, like we were talking about earlier, your script that does some load balancing from us, it's still direct downloads. It just randomly chooses a site, or sequentially chooses it. But anyway, that could also be accomplished by me having all 5 or 10 or however many mirrors setting up the BitTorrent seed on their server.
And then instead as of, actually an aside, we could probably set up the mirror script to just as easily rotate between torrent files
instead
of the actual movie files. But in any case, yeah, so BitTorrent is useful for some things, but I didn't think having a constant searchable database of peer-to-peer files is good with BitTorrent. So I suggested things like Nutella. Even though people don't like it, if you host your own private Nutella server and network that is sort of separate from the global Nutella network, then that could probably work pretty well. Also, there's eDonkey and even Napster. The open NAP servers can be extended to other than MP3s and AUGs and stuff.
Well, if I were going to set up a private, I would go with Waste.
I haven't actually looked at Waste lately because of the whole legality issue.
Right. Well, that's just for the privacy aspect that it offers, but, you know.
Right.
Your point is correct. I mean, I think we talked about this on, like, a very early show in the teens or in the single digit about setting up a private network within Nutella, and we pointed out the flaws in Nutella. The problems were that, you know, all it takes is a few dial-up users using it, and it kind of slows down. You know, if your closest peers are all using dial-up and you're using cable modem, you're stuck, you know?
Oh, certainly. That's one of the problems that I was telling you about.
Right. That's why people don't like it, but the protocol is great.
Well, yeah. Well, the protocol is, it was a good idea, but it was badly designed, I think.
Right.
I had my own design, which was similar to it, which is actually really similar to the new protocol, Nutella 2, which is the successor to Nutella, obviously. There have been some problems with it because the creator of it decided to sort of close the standard or something like that, and there's been arguments between the Nutella developers and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the basic ideas are there, and I think anyone who implements this type of network is going to have real success. The idea is lots of small networks, lots of very private networks of 10 to 50 to 150 people in one small ring, is what I call it. They probably call it a hub or something. I call it a ring. And this ring of 50 to 150 people all share the same similar files, and they're generally people who hang out in a specific IRC channel or chat online or something like that. And then they have trust relationships between them. They have, I forget the term that other people use, but basically the idea is if you have a friend who wants to download a file from you, you'll let them download that file, and then in the network it shows that as you trust them, so that if another person were to download a file for them, they could look at the different people that trust that user. And based on that, they could decide whether the file they're downloading is real or if it's kiddie porn. Because that's the real big problem with peer-to-peer networks. You don't know if the file you're downloading is real. And there's no real way to be sure about this besides digital signing. And even that's kind of shaky. So what I suggested is, you know, small rings of different people with these trust relationships. And based on the rest of the people in the network and how they feel about a specific user, you can determine whether or not these files are good. And you could end up searching through huge numbers of these rings of people much faster than you ever could with Nutella because of the way the rings are set up, so that you could find these files for Gentoo, for example, which don't have a lot of binary files out there, or Slackware, or his own distribution. He could set up his own little ring for his files, and then, you know, just say, okay, connect to this. If you want to download, I'll make you a friend, and you'll have, you know, one friend listed, so you'll be okay.
Hey, that's one more friend than I have now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We might have to just have you back on for a special all, you know, in-depth discussion of peer-to-peer networks at some time.
I'd be happy to.
All right. We may have to put that on the list. But for now, we are definitely running low on time, and there's a couple things I got to mention here as we go out. One is that reminding you that this is episode 51. Next week is episode 52. That's our one-year anniversary. 52 consecutive weeks, perfect attendance. Woohoo! So 52, that is our one-year anniversary, so we'll have a little special event there. Then subsequently 53, 54... I'm not quite sure how they're going to work, to be honest with you. They're going to be around Hope, the time for Hope 5, so I'm not sure. 53 we'll probably do before we leave. And 54, I'm presuming we will do a special from Hope. I don't know if it'll be live. Probably record it at Hope.
Which day will that be, though?
The air date is going to be a Tuesday, because remember, I'm staying through Hope. I'm staying over until Wednesday.
Okay.
So Hope will technically have been over, but I will still be in New York, so...
As will I.
Okay.
Probably 0dB as well.
Right. So we will do something for 54. We're just not sure what, so just kind of giving them a heads-up warning for that.
Actually, you know what? We may have to confirm this. We can't really say right now, but... Well, I'll talk to you about it later. And basically, we could probably hook up something special, considering the fact that it's a Hope type of stream.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll probably come up with something, and I guess we'll just leave them hanging as far as what.
Oh, yeah, but definitely lots of suspense right here about something special that no one knows about yet.
Apparently, even I don't. Anyway, shout-outs. First of all, anonymous submissions to Hack TV, we mentioned earlier, or articles or emails or anything, anything of any kind. Anybody contributing, you know, we're more than welcome to that. I can't believe I'm actually going to say this on the air, but I'm going to give shout-outs to White Sword. Oh, God, that hurts to say that even. But White Sword TV, I have to say, was pretty cool. Kind of weird in some spots, but pretty interesting, and I actually watched the whole thing. It was interesting enough that I watched it, so I'm giving White Sword shout-outs. Joking aside, it was pretty cool. And shout-outs to my boy Decoder. We got that project I mentioned about last week, which will be coming out soon. I'll give you a little bit more of a teaser that it's going to be me and Decoder, at least at the beginning, for episode one. So be looking for that within, well, probably before Hope, within the next week or so. Shout-outs, you got anybody you want to shout-out?
Oh, you know, just the normal 954-2600 crew. I know a lot of those guys, or at least one of them, is probably listening to this. So just shout-out to them and little IRC channels I hang out on, Slackware people. That's about it.
Yeah, shouts to 0dB. Obviously, we mentioned him coming up. All heading up to New York later. And actually, I guess, you know, a bunch of us are going to meet up. We're coming in on Thursday. A bunch of us are going to meet up, go to a Yankees game Thursday night. So shout-outs to Jaga. I'm hoping I invited him. I don't know if he's going to be able to make it. I know Not Theory. A bunch of people. So we're going to hang out and enjoy Hope, enjoy New York City. So, you know, shouts out to everybody. You know, I'm right. Shout outs is just, there's so many cool people in the scene that, gosh, it's just, you leave people out. Again, email us radio@benrev.com. submit articles at binrev.com for the magazine. Like I said, 2.1 is proofed and going to finals, so we should have that out soon. So start sending in 2.2. The longer it takes for us to get enough articles, the longer it's going to take for the magazine to come out. So send your stuff in ASAP. Our closing music tonight, I mentioned this earlier too, is from Nave. He sent us an email inviting us to listen to his music, so listen to his music. This is actually an untitled track. He said he couldn't come up with a good name for this, so maybe you have a good name you can send us, and we will pass it on. And that is going to do it. So, Cy Pete, episode 51 in the books. Thank you very much for joining us again.
Oh, no problem.
And thank you very much, sincerely, for helping me out with the server. You I did a lot, but I didn't. You ended up helping clean a lot of that stuff up. I was winging it, and you came in and just clarified a lot for me, so that helped tremendously, and I do appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
So, we're going to end it like we always do. Are we going to start with a new catchphrase in the second year? No, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
I kind of like ending it. See you guys next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.